Hi friends, hello the world. Welcome back to this episode of Tools for Transitioning Humanitarian and your host, the Salam Wanawa. In this freezing cold in Turkey, I actually thought when I was coming back from Kyrgyzstan, oh my God, I need to get out of here because it's too cold. And then guess what happens when I'm here? So, as you say, like as they say, you can't avoid what you don't like. So the topic that I want to talk about today is the topic of other people's opinions and how are we treating them? And I think this is something that's becoming so important, especially with the funding crisis unfolding. And we may not treat other people's opinions or like news as other people's opinions, but I feel like this is what's going on. And how many of the humanitarian clients that I'm coaching are so affected by it. And we don't even think that that's what we're doing. And I want to just bring some awareness to what we might be doing. And also, excuse me, and also what to do about it. So, I have really been thinking about how to simplify this and give you simple ways of looking at it and tools to look at it. And I have come up with, let's see. So, one, two, three, four, five. Five categories of how we might be usually treating other people's opinions and what weight we are giving to them. And I will list all the ways that we might be doing that. And then I want to give you a one simple solution of how you could treat them instead. And why that's important, right? And I feel like the more we go into this crisis, the more we're thinking about transitioning, whatever our understanding of transitioning that is, this conversation becomes crucial because we are often, as humans, tend to go for whatever the majority of the people are thinking and going with that instead of going with our own opinion and our own authority, and how that then affects our lives essentially. And that's really what I'm looking at and talking about. So I have seen, obviously, in my own life and in how humanitarian clients talk about is that we tend to treat other people's opinion, whether this is our loved ones, our partners, whether it is our governments or governments of other countries, whatever it is, we tend to treat them oftentimes as authority. And that's what we might be doing that as well currently when certain politicians in power are cutting the funds, and we are making that decision mean like an authority type of influence or impact on us. And the way that we know that's how we are doing and how we're treating is by us telling ourselves, oh, that means I can't really go for what I want to. That means I shouldn't be, excuse me, transitioning to the humanitarian sector, or I shouldn't be transitioning to being a consultant, whatever else, because the world, the humanitarian world is exploding. Excuse me. And therefore, we start treating those opinions or those decisions as authority over our lives. And then we start making our own decisions based on those authority, right? On those news as authority. Like whatever the news you watch, those are still other people's opinions. Those are still other people's decisions. And how we give weight to them is how that's going to impact us and our lives, right? And oftentimes, I think we tend to perceive them or give weight to those opinions and decisions as authority over our lives in some way, meaning that, oh, therefore I can do XYZ, therefore I better do da da da. And we start panicking and suffering from it and feeling like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? So What I want to do again, don't get me wrong, that I'm not suggesting don't listen to whatever the news source you have, or don't listen to the analytics that you are interested in. I'm not saying that you should not listen or watch them, but I am suggesting for you to look at how much of the weight you are giving to them versus to your own authority, and how much of their news and analytics are influencing you versus how much of your own news and analytics and opinions are influencing your lives. And that's really what I'm advocating for in this episode. So if I want to give just the categories of what I see, how we are treating other people's opinions, these are the category five categories that I have identified, and I want us to really look at, is that how we want to treat other people's opinions, or there is another way that we can treat, and I will make a suggestion, right? So the first one is, as I said, it's an authority, right? So we are treating other people's opinions or decisions as authority over our lives, and we need to understand if that's how we want to treat them. The second, and of course, there is no, hierarchical importance to it, but I just want to use the numeration for clarification. The second way that I see is that we're using them as permission. We're seeking their permission to do the things that we want to do. And again, we want to understand if that's how we want to treat them. The third one is we are seeking their opinion as a confirmation, right? So we're wanting them to confirm to us what we're doing is right or wrong. And we are wanting somehow assurance from them, or somewhere to confirm or to validate what we are doing is right or wrong. And the fourth one is we're using them as a support, right? So we want to be supported as we are going through this, which again, I understand. But again, is that how we want to do things? And the fifth one, which is probably extreme, but I feel like we tend to do that a lot as well, is a way to feel bad about ourselves, or to the way to feel like this is our fault. This is basically to beat ourselves up, and therefore we don't want to do that thing that we actually want to do, right? So these are the five common ways that we tend to use other people's opinions to influence our lives. And let me get into the details of giving you examples of different people or myself, so that you can really start seeing how we might be doing that on daily basis even, but we're not aware that that's what we're doing, right? And especially when it comes to transitioning, this is definitely what we're doing. So, if I'm treating other people's opinions as authority, the example would be. So let me give you the example from another crisis during the COVID times, right? As you know, or many of you know, that I have transitioned out of the UN during COVID times when the peak was about to start, and I have I have submitted my resignation, I think, in April 2020. March is when everything started and shutting down, and April is when I have given my notice that I will no longer work for UN. And my decision to do that has been taken 2019 October. So therefore, my decision had nothing to do with the COVID. I have made the decision prior to it because of reasons that I keep talking about. One of the main reasons that I didn't see the results of my work that I really wanted to see, and therefore I decided to leave. Now, at that time, as I was transitioning, and I was actually also during COVID times when the world shut down, I was traveling the most in my life. And that's just ironic, but I have been traveling a lot to Europe, to the US, to different parts of the world, because I had a long distance relationship and I was trying to keep up with that. And at the same time, I was traveling to home to be with my loved ones. And the point of this conversation is really to say that I didn't want the world authority at the time that said you can't travel, you can't spread the contagion or whatever it was, and you can't do XYZ. I didn't want that information or that authority to influence my life because I didn't want to delay or like postpone my life or put it on hold, and then let's see what the world comes up and opens up, and then I will do something about it. I didn't want to do that. In other words, I didn't want my circumstances dictate how I live my life, and that has been the theme of my life ever since I transitioned, right? So how can I make sure that my circumstance, whatever that is, does not have the authority over me, just the way that I keep using the analogy of when I was poor, right? Many of you know that I come from a very poor background where my parents didn't have the money even to send me to university. And they sold the only cow that we had at the time, the only animal that we had at the time. And you can imagine, in the context of my parents' lives, they are in their older age. They didn't have anything anymore, and the only cow, and they sold that cow. And I was able to go to university and, of course, replace that cow and more. But I, at the time, it would have been so easy for me to listen to society's opinions and authority that says, oh, poor people can't really go and study. Poor people can't really be intelligent or like hold very high positions, right? Because the circumstance were objectively that I didn't have money, my parents didn't have money, many of the people in the village didn't have money. So objectively, we didn't have money, and someone would qualify as poor. But despite all of that circumstances, I didn't want to be the person who just says, well, I'm poor, so therefore I can't do XYZ things, right? And the same concept applies here, is that I didn't want the world shutting down dictate how I live my life and how I continue building my relationships. And that's what I mean when I say that how or whether we are making other people's external people's opinions, decisions, whatever their authority they have over their jurisdiction, how we might be making that mean that we cannot do XYZ thing, we cannot transition to what we want, we cannot to go for the job that we really have been wanting because the circumstances are deteriorating, and that we need to be careful about whether that's how we want to treat those circumstances, excuse me, as authority, or we treat the circumstances as a way to understand and inform our decision in some way that we want to, or not take them into account at all and keep going for what we want to. And that's exactly what I did during the COVID times, is not that I wanted to spread the COVID or anything, but I also didn't want the 2 years of our lives to be spending on quarantines and on things of how I can do XYZ things that I love in my life. And instead, I kept going for what I can in the within the restrictions that were available, still continue doing what I wanted to do. So that's why when you are reading the news, when you are reading about all the ways how things are bad, think about it. Is that how you want to treat that information? Give so much weight to that information to a point that you are telling yourself you can't go for what you want to, or you want to use that information as a way to strengthen how you are the person who can still go for what you want because you are the authority of your life and not those news or those events and circumstances that are happening around you, right? So my suggestion throughout this episode is how can you use your own opinion, your own desires, your own plans and missions as the authority over your life instead of letting those circumstances be the authority over your life. So that is the first way, that the common way that we might be doing this, and we actually need to question whether that's how we want to be doing. The second way that I said is where we tend to ask for permission. And I think this is something that we may not even aware that that's what we're doing. And we may not even think that that's what we're doing, but we are doing that. And the common ways that this has shown up, and of course, it may not be your story, but this has shown up, is when we are in partnership. And in a partnership, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a partner, whether it's with someone very special, whoever it is, we tend to. So the classical example that I have seen is we tend to want to go for transitioning to doing something of our own. We don't want to be working for the humanitarian sector anymore, and we want to really like go wild on pursuing what we've always wanted to pursue, whether this is writing a book, whether this is something that we want to work from home, whatever it is that we want to pursue. And then we discuss it with our partner, and then if the partner says, "Oh, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that now is the time to do that. I don't think that you should be even considering how everyone is freaking out with their job loss. Are you sure you want to do that?" And in that moment, we tend to then say, "Oh, my partner does not agree with this, therefore I continue doing what I have always done." And in that moment, even though we may not be seeking permission from the other person, we are still continuing with their opinion, and we are not really giving ourselves the permission to go with our own opinion, right? So, in other words, we're not really advocating or even explaining or wanting to discuss it in a way that, no, this is what I actually want to do, and I want to continue pursuing it no matter what happens. We are not doing that at all, because we're just seeking the other partner's permission, so to say, whether they agree with us or not. And if they don't agree with us, then we take it as a way to say, "Oh, then I can't really do XYZ things." Now, interestingly, that when we seek permission, usually we tend to not believe in what we really want to do. We tend to not believe in ourselves or trust ourselves that whatever we want is really going to work, or we are someone who can make this work. And because of that, we tend to then go to the partner with the weaker, somewhat, position of, "Do you think I should do this?" versus, "I actually really want to do this, and I'm going to make this work in different ways. Here is how I'm thinking of making it work, and I really want you to support me in this because I don't want to be doing this any longer." That would be a very strong position to come to the conversation, right? But because we are not really sure of ourselves, what we're capable of, and therefore we tend to come to the conversation more like, "Do you think I should do this or not? Or do you agree with me?" And the minute they say no, or maybe they don't even say no, they just express their own concerns, which is very valid, right? And because they could express their own concerns, we just take it as a way to say, "Oh, therefore, I shouldn't go for what I want to, because now if I insist and go for what I want to and things don't go well or don't work out, I will be ashamed, or I will be just proving how he was right or she was right, my spouse, my partner, and therefore I don't want to do that, and therefore keep doing what I don't want to." Do you see how that plays out? And that's, I think, another example that comes up very often is in the weight loss journey for many people, is they Especially they have tried so many methods of losing weight, and the weight hasn't been lost, and they just feel like they want to try another method, and they go and talk to their spouse, and their spouse legitimately say the things like, "Well, you've tried so many different ways and it hasn't worked. Why do you think it will work this time?" And they take that to mean that, oh, they're not agreeing to this, therefore they're not permitting, or I'm not going to permit myself to do this, and therefore we just don't go for what we want to, instead of treating every method as something that I'm the one who's going to make this method work for me. And how am I going to do that? And therefore, I'm going to come to the partner with the conversation of, I'm going to make this method work for me. I have learned already so many different ways how it doesn't work in this way, but I want to take responsibility for how I'm going to make this work. And I would like for you to support me in this journey so that it becomes easier to do this. You can see how the conversations are different depending on how we approach this opinions with the other person. Now, the third way is the confirmation. And I think this is something that, or validation, whichever the way that feels good to you. And I think this is something that we do that quite often, especially if it's at work, right? With our managers, with our supervisors, with our senior managements, we tend to, excuse me, go for a confirmation or validation that what we're doing is right, what we're doing is, excuse me, how we're supposed to do, and all of these things. And then if we don't get that validation or confirmation, what we tend to then do is we tend to feel very upset about what we're doing or how things are going. We tend to blame them for how they're not giving us the validation that we want, or we tend to feel very bad about ourselves or about the job, and therefore it just feels like, what's the point? Right? And in these moments, I really want us to look at, why are we seeking for validation, right? And this is something that I have talked in other episodes in the past. So therefore, I'm really wanting us to look at it from the perspective of when we are seeking, like when we are treating other people's opinions, how do we want to treat them? If we are treating them as validation or confirmation, why are we doing it? And something suggests to me that the reason why we're doing it is because we are believing that what we have and what we are doing is not enough, or what we are doing may not be correct or a right one or whatever it is. Now, if that's the case, why are we treating our opinion that way? Right. So that's, I think, the simplest way that you can really look at it is, why are you treating your opinion that way? That the weight of the other people's opinions is there to validate your opinion. Why? Right. And it might be as simple as a habit that we all got into, but also think about why that habit hasn't been dismantled in any other way. And the problem with that validation always is that we are as if like our opinion is the second-hand citizen. I don't know what is, we call it in Russian. As if like our opinion don't count as much unless we get a confirmation. And is that how we want to treat our opinion, right? And I think that's a very honest conversation that we can have with ourselves. And the way that I have treated my own seeking for validation sickness is really, I would call in my own case, because I just felt like I can't function without other people's validations, and to a point that I would get so burned out at some point that I would go to a hospital. And then I realized, why am I seeking their validation? Even though my goal is that what I really want to do is, at the time, I really want to work with refugees, with displaced communities, and I want to do everything that I can within my power to serve them, to support them. And if my superiors or senior management didn't support or validate me, so what? Right? It's not like I'm doing anything illegal. It's not that like I'm doing anything outside of the strategy that we all agreed on. And therefore, I don't want to be sitting around and keep seeking their validation of how great I am doing or how, because then it becomes a bit about myself and about them rather than about the people that I'm serving. Right. So therefore, I decided that, okay, whatever I'm doing for the people that I'm serving, I'm doing it for my own sake, meaning to feel good about myself or contributing for the solution for these people. And I want to feel good about doing it. I believe that I'm doing the right thing according to the strategy. And if they, if my superiors confirm and validate and praise me, amazing. But if they don't, I'm not going to suffer from it anyway, because I believe enough that my expertise or my way of doing things are the right ones. And if they don't, if they're not right ones, they will let me know. And I will continue doing this for myself and for the people that I'm serving. And I don't want any more validation to confirm, which keeps eroding my confidence in myself as a professional. Because if I keep seeking validation from others, I just keep confirming to myself that my professional opinion is not to be trusted. So let me get a lot of other opinions to confirm my opinion. And the which one is it? Is the fourth one is where we seek other people's opinions as for support, right? And I hear you, I understand, and I think that's a very human thing to do. But I really want us to also think about if there is no such support, what are we making that mean, right? Are we making that mean that we cannot go for what we want to? Or we're making that mean that it's fine, even if there is no support, I'm going to go for what I want anyway, right? And that's the important distinctions that I really want us to look at it is so for instance, let me share like my husband. Let's say that my husband decided not to support me in something that I'm doing. We somehow have this unknown or unspoken, or I don't know, I don't think we've ever discussed this, but there is this assumption behind from his side and from my side equally that even if he does not support me in this particular thing, even though he's a very supportive husband in everything that I do, but let's say if he didn't support in this particular thing, we still have the understanding that I would go for it anyway, right? This is just I don't know, this is just how we function. And it wouldn't ever occur to me to interpret his lack of support to mean that I shouldn't be doing this, or his lack of support to mean that, oh, maybe I should doubt what I'm doing. It wouldn't occur to me. But of course, I came to that after a long time of being in so many different relationships that didn't work for me. I came to this relationship knowing what are the things that I want, what are the things I don't want, and therefore that a relationship has built in that way, right? But I can also see that I have some humanitarian clients who tell me that I don't see that support from the other person, from their partners. Therefore, I'm doubting whether I should be doing this or not. I'm doubting whether I really have what it takes, right? And what we are doing in that moment is we're using their lack of support as a reason to doubt ourselves, as a reason to second guess what we are wanting and doing. And the question is that how we want to treat their lack of support? Right? Is that how we want to treat their lack of support? And maybe that you do. And if you do, then I would like for you to think about why you do that. Why do you use that as a way to doubt and second guess yourself? Does that mean that you were doubting and second guessing already beforehand, and now you are using additional confirmation from the partner as a lack of support, and you're just using it as an additional reason to say, oh, do you see? I was already doubting and second guessing myself. Now that I see that there is no support from my partner, that means it's additional confirmation that I shouldn't go for it. And if that's what you're doing, then why are you doing it, right? In other words, why are you gathering evidence to show to yourself why you can't go for what you actually want to? Because that is a self-sabotage. Right. And that's really what I want to warn is I think we tend to use that so often that we say, oh, I see these confirmations from everywhere that keeps telling me that I shouldn't go for what I want to, even though that's what we said, that's what we want to, then why are we gathering evidence to show that we shouldn't? And that shows that we're just afraid of going for the thing that we want to, and we're now trying to find desperately evidence to show why we shouldn't. And that's how we give in to our fears. And that's how we become victims to our own fears. And is that what we want? And I think these are the valid questions that you really need to be checking in with yourself. And especially when it comes to gathering evidence to show to yourself how you can't go for what you want to, you need to understand that that is how sabotage works. And that is how fear works. And the ultimate question is that how you want to treat the fear? Is that how you want to keep sabotaging yourself? And if not, then what do you want to do instead? Right? And that's an important distinction that we need to understand. And the last one is the one about how we beat ourselves up. And this is something that I have been coaching a client yesterday only. And the part that also reminded me of many experiences that I used to have as well. And the way that we do that is I give you a specific example. So I was discussing with her on her dating and how she wants to date or she wants to find someone and build a relationship. But at the same time, she has a lot of obstacles she's creating for herself, of course, not really knowingly, right? Not to go for a date. And the reasons might be usually like, oh, I don't like this app, or I don't like this way things are done, and therefore I'm not going for a date. And in that conversation, we start really getting specific about why she feels so heavy and difficult to go on a date. And one of the things she was telling me is that she feels awkward and anxious before going to a date. And dating for her is associated with something very negative and not and negative and heavy and not something positive and light. And then we started getting into why she feels awkward when going on a date. And she gave me, I think, three reasons. Let me try to remember them. So the first reason was that she feels awkward if they if she thinks that the other person is not interested in her. And the next one is that she will feel awkward and anxious if she thinks that the other person does not know how to get out of the situation and feel stuck in that situation of dating. And then the third one, I don't think that I can remember now, but there was another similar situation of where she thinks something about the other person as to how the other person might be judging her. Now, and that's where she feels awkward and anxious, right? Now, when we look into even deeper, we also understand that all of that thoughts that are creating awkward and anxious feeling within her are her own judgments of how the other person might be thinking, right? It's not, it doesn't mean that the other person is thinking that way because we don't know what the actual, the other, what other per people really think within themselves. We don't really know unless they tell us or unless they showcase with some emotional nonverbal communication. But even then, we're guessing really. So therefore, all we have is her judgment of how she might be judged by the other person, how she might not be interesting to the other person, and all of that thoughts are creating that feeling of awkwardness and anxiety. Now, the problem with that is that because we don't know what the other person is really thinking, why then are we really having all of these judgments ahead of time about the other person that we don't yet know? Why are we doing that? Right? Why are we using them, these statements, these thoughts, these anxiety and awkward feeling? Why are we doing them? Because we are protecting ourselves from being hurt, right? We are, our fear is a beautiful emotion that helps us live life. And our fear also does not want us to get hurt emotionally. And probably our fear also relates to the, excuse me, to the experiences that we had in the past, and therefore it's protecting us, and that's very normal. But at the same time, if we keep doing that, what we end up not doing is actually dating someone. What we end up not doing is actually connecting to someone, getting to know, and possibly exploring options of building relationships, right? And therefore, we need to understand that if we're going to use this as a way to beat ourselves up, as a way to stop ourselves from going for what we want to, then we just continue that lane of how the dating doesn't work, how this doesn't work, how that doesn't work, and therefore keep staying in the all of this does not work instead of actually giving ourselves a fair chance of making it work. Right. So therefore, you can see how we're not even treating in this situation other people's opinions, but we are projecting or we are believing this is what they might be thinking. And then based on that, we are coming up with our own conclusions of how we shouldn't go for that date, how we shouldn't go for that transitioning, how we shouldn't do XYZ. And we just fail ahead of time. We just refuse ourselves ahead of time. We just stop ourselves ahead of time before going for what we want to. And that might be happening not only in the dating scene, obviously, but also in the transitioning, right? So we might be even thinking like, oh, if I say that I want to go for something else, for another profession, and my partner says, are you really serious when we are paying the mortgage, when we are taking care of the children? How irresponsible you must be. We might be thinking that's what the other person is going to say, or other person is thinking, and therefore let's not even go and bring this up, and therefore let's not even try to go for what we want to, and therefore keep where we are, keep where I don't want to be, keep where I really want to get out, but I don't know how, or I feel stuck, and then continue living that life. And that's what I mean by beating ourselves up with the opinion of others, or with the opinion of others that we believe are their opinions, even though we don't know if that is the case. And that's how we stop for going for what we want to. And all I want to do and suggest in this episode for you to think about is that how you want to treat other people's opinions? And while you're treating other people's opinions that way, how are you treating your own opinion, your own desires, your own plans, your own visions? And where you are putting that weight. And should you be really putting that weight in other people's opinions, or at least give yourself a chance to give your own desires, your own opinions, enough or more weight than the one that you're giving to the others to see how that impacts your life. And if you'd like to work on this, come coach with me. I have some individual spots open. I would love to coach you in that setting to help you really know how you can give yourself and your own opinion and your desires so much authority over anyone else's so you know how your life changes to the better the way that you can imagine. Have a beautiful week, everyone. I'll speak to you very soon. Bye.